We're in the book of Acts, chapter 11 this time. We're continuing our study of the Apostle Peter's path. And in our last study, Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius. Now remember, Cornelius and his house were the house of Gentiles. In those days, you had two types of people, just as you have in today's world. You have those who are chosen of God to live by His grace, and you have those who live by works, Gentiles and Jews. Cornelius was a Gentile. And Gentiles, it was forbidden of the Jews by the Jewish law for Jews to go into the house or to associate themselves with the Gentiles. It'd be like, I'm not prepared to say that we're forbidden to, but I know that God tells us that we shouldn't go into the church of a works religion and openly worship God with that church for possibly showing people that we agree with their religion. Yet our Lord had prepared the heart of the preacher, Peter, as He did with the hearts of the hearers, the house of Cornelius, the ones who needed to hear a message. Peter was given a specific message for them. Peter brought the gospel unto them. Read once again, if you would, with me, chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 34, and let's read through 43. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, but not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins." Now, boy, I'll tell you what, that's the gospel right there. Amen. That was the message that Peter had to be prepared to preach. God is not a respecter of persons. His people are spread throughout all time, throughout all of the world. And his people shall be called. Just as there was no possibility that you and I wouldn't be called. It was purposed by God before the world began that John Rees would suffer problems in his life and come to this building, come to this place where people worship God, to cry on his brother's shoulder and hear the gospel. Just as it was purposed for Cornelius and his house to send men down to find Peter. And notice that God gave all the details about him. He's staying at a man's house in Joppa. Go down there and ask for one named Simon, surnamed Peter. It's the same thing that our Lord said to his disciples when they were preparing to have the feast in the upper room. He said, "Go into town and find a guy who's carrying a pitcher of water." Interesting. Don't you find that interesting that God gave us that detail? a person carrying a pitcher of water? How many people were carrying a pitcher of water that day? You know, they didn't have faucets like you and I. There was a whole bunch of people carrying pitchers of water that day. But there would be one that they would find, that they would come to, and they would ask, our master is ready to have supper. And he would say, go to that upper room. He would show them the upper room, and everything would be set for them already. That's what it means to know God Almighty, as Lord of all. Every single detail that we can think of, He knows already and has already set it in place to happen. Now, this morning, and we're going to spend a little time on all of what we just read there. This morning, I'm just going to consider what we see here in verse 34. Our first point is of a truth. Folks, our first declaration to the world around us, to those who God brings into our lives, is this, that God's word is true. He cannot lie, as it says in Titus 1 verse 2. Listen to these words. Listen to these words. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4. Listen to the word of God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. In Psalms 33 verse 4, we read this, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. In Psalms 86, we read this, verse 15, but Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. In John 14:6, we read, our Lord, in His own words, Jesus said unto Him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The God of Holy Scriptures is pure and holy, perfect in every way, including the ways that you and I cannot even perceive. We see dishonesty in all that we have, that all we can see with our eyes in the world. Are you surprised that there are so many lies going on in the government that runs this country? I was for a while, but then I remember, wait a minute. Our Lord tells us these things, does He not? Does He not tell us that things will wax worse and worse? I saw another one of those things on Facebook. You know, I question myself sometimes. Maybe I spend too much time on Facebook. But I enjoy some of the things. And Roger, I think you may have saw this. I'm pretty sure you folks did. There was a picture of Holy Scripture, a Bible. And it was closed, and it just all said on it was Holy Scripture. And then down below it said, this is my fact checker. you want something you can lean on that is true and absolute and cannot be changed? That's the Word of God. Amen. You want to trust in what these folks down here in this little building in Sacramento are saying? You want to trust in that kind of stuff? Folks, you want to trust in this guy here? You are making a mistake. This is the only truth in this world. Amen. Of a truth, it says, God is no respecter of persons. Listen to these words in Mark chapter 12, verse 14. And when they were come, they say unto Him, Master, we know that Thou art true and carest for no man, for Thou regardest not the persons of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. I think I could probably spend a few weeks just talking about the truth here and all the scriptures and all the different places. I pulled the word truth up in God's word on my computer. I'm so thankful. If I had to be a preacher 50 years ago when we didn't have these computer programs, I'm sure the Lord would give me what I need, but boy, I can't imagine what it would be like not having what I've got now. So I pull up the word truth in scriptures, and there's like almost 1,000 places. So imagine all the messages we could talk about, all the different places and time we could spend just talking about that one word, truth. Turn over, if you will, to the chapter of to the fifth chapter of Revelations. Out of every kindred, our Lord has a people, a chosen people, declared His, declared before the world was. And He, our Lord, in love for this people, these ones that He had declared would be His. They, in fact, He wrote their names in the book of life before the world was ever created. This people, out of love for this people, He humbled Himself and He left glory, the glory that was His before the world was, and He became flesh. Isn't that what it says in John chapter 17? Lord, return my glory that I had before with You. To that effect, He became flesh and He set Himself as our substitute, in life as our righteousness, in death as our bearer, our atonement, our blessed Redeemer. Are you with me in Revelation 5? Look at verses chapter 5, verses 2 through 14. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And I beheld, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast of the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." And every creature that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessings and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. You don't need to turn here, but just a few chapters over in the 14th chapter of Revelation, chapter 6, we read this. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. We do not judge the hearts of men, for who but God can see the heart? So we preach the good news. Isn't it wonderful when our Lord brings somebody in through these doors, knowing that they're going to hear the gospel that not only saved us, but the gospel that keeps us, the gospel that feeds us, the gospel of Christ Jesus and Him crucified. You don't have to worry about somebody coming through the door and hearing about, hey, we sure did a good work this week, didn't we? Did you see all those folks we brought into the church when we fed them? Now, I'm not trying to make fun of those who do the feedings and the good works. Thank God that there are those who have hearts of service. But service is not the gospel. Poor sinners need to hear about a Savior. Not just once, but every time. We don't judge the hearts of those who God brings into this building, for God is the only one who can see the hearts of men. So we preach the good news, the gospel, to all for whom God is pleased to bring our way. All we do is plant and water, but it must be God who gives the increase. Back in our text of the book of Acts, chapter 10, continuing with that same, that God is no respecter of persons. Look at verse 35, chapter 10, verse 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. John Gill wrote this: he that feareth him. Actually, I thought I was going to stick with just that one verse, but I guess, you know what? Okay. John Gill wrote this about verse 35. Where we read there where it says, he that feareth him, John Gill wrote this, he that feareth God, not with a slavish fear or with a fear of punishment to be inflicted by him, or with a fear of hell and damnation, which Cain, Pharaoh, Judas, and even the devils themselves have feared him, nor with a hypocritical fear, but with a godly, obedient fear. We obey out of the reverential love for him, which is a new covenant blessing, a love that springs from the love of God for us. We love him because he first loved us. We loved our father or our mother because they first loved us. It's a love that springs from the love of God. It is grace implanted in our souls and regeneration, and it includes all true religion, both external and internal, and faith among the rest, without which it is impossible to please God or to do works of righteousness acceptable in His sight, as it follows. The next words we read, and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. Again, John Gill explains that by, that is, he who from such principles as the fear of the Lord, love to him, and faith in Christ, does works of righteousness, particularly giving alms as Cornelius did, and which the Jews often called righteousness, such at one is acceptable or well-pleasing to God. Let him be of what nation he will, it should be observed that through God, accept, or though God accepts of such who fear him and works of righteousness from a right principle and to a right end, without any regard to their being circumcised or uncircumcised, or to their being of this or the other nation, yet their fear of him and working righteousness are not the ground of their acceptance, but are to be considered as descriptive of the persons who are accepted by him in Christ. For there is no acceptance of persons or services but in Christ Jesus. End of quote. Now let's look at verse 36. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Now, Peter has set the table, as it were. In those three verses, Peter has come before Cornelius and he set the table of who it is he's going to talk about. First off, this word that I'm going to bring to you is true. It's the only truth in the whole world around us. Everything else is but a lie according to man's humble or proud vanity. So he's told them, this is of a truth. A truth that you can count on. It's a truth based on Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh. He set the table, as it were, or laid a foundation to which his message will be built upon. He says, peace for God's people. Peace that is found throughout all nations, throughout all time, and it is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. Now turn, if you will, over to Romans chapter 9. Just a couple of pages to the right. Romans chapter 9. I'm here to tell you folks, just as Peter was there to tell Cornelius that regeneration of the heart is a work of the Almighty Creator. Dead men can do nothing, folks. That makes a lot of sense to you and I. And we like to hear that because we know we were dead once, right? And we know that we live now, but the only reason we live is because Christ has come and given us life to see His Word as truth. Out of His mercy and grace, we must be born again to call Him Lord. And when Christ has revealed through the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit that He is Lord of all, there is peace in the world of a child of God. You know, listen to this. And I think I shared this with you Friday night if you were here. Don Jukic is facing a very difficult time. I can't imagine what it would be like for me to lose one of my legs. But to be at his age and lose both of his legs, where even his wife, who's, I'm not going to say old, but not that young anymore, I can imagine Shirley has got to be going through a great deal of trouble in her own thoughts. How am I going to take care of my husband? Do you think Don's not going through that same trouble? How is my wife feeling? This one I love, who's feeling so sorry because she can't take care of me. And now I'm going to have to go stay in this place. I'm not even going to be able to be with my wife. I'm going to have to go stay in some hospital. Yet, looking at those very things that face him, just as you and I have had times in our lives that we've looked at maybe not the exact same things, but things that troubled us maybe just as much. Looking at those very things, I've heard Don say, but to God be the glory. For all the blessings that He has given me, my wife Shirley is the biggest blessing the Lord could have given me in this whole world. I've heard him praise our God, despite the trouble that he's going through. Only a regenerated heart could praise our Lord for such things. Spiritual peace does not necessarily mean the comfort of the flesh. For we all must continue in this body of death, a cursed world, yet we do not fear the eternal death. I don't want to experience pain. I'm afraid of that. And I don't care what anybody says, the unknown is scary. I see with the eyes of faith. These eyes trouble me. I'm right with you, Brother Mike. It's been a tough week. All the things in my world have been going great. I actually played golf real good, but the tough week we're talking about is the tough week within us. the struggle we have within ourselves of this flesh. I don't have any peace with my flesh, but I have peace with my God. We don't fear the eternal death. In fact, the longer our Lord keeps us in this world, the more and the stronger we look forward to leaving it, to leaving this sinful flesh behind and take joy in eternity with Him. Our deserved eternal death was laid upon Him. He who knew no sin was made sin, made the sin of His people. He died our death. When He died, we died in Him. We were in Him when He hung on that cross. The Creator of all that is has provided Himself our sacrifice. He so loved His people, spread throughout all of the world, throughout all of time, that He gave His only begotten Son, not so that they could be saved, but so that they shall be saved. There's no question. You cannot deny God's word when He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." You can't misinterpret that. The only thing you can do if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ is ignore it. But if you love God, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people. No maybes, no mights, but shall. Amen. Our Lord's mercy is efficient, it's effectual, and it's sure. Look with me, if you would, at verses 1 through 24 of Romans chapter 9. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "I say the truth in Christ." If I was going to put a title to today's Bible study, it would be exactly that: Truth in Christ. "I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." That's the same as saying, I would lay down my own life if it were possible for me to be cursed so that my children would be saved. That's what I would do. If it were possible for me to be cursed so that my wife would be saved, that's what I would do. That's what Paul's saying. And then he goes on to describe them, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants of giving of the law and the service of God with the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are of the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, in other words, they which are of the children of the flesh, they are not of the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of the promise: as this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, "The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Oh, no, God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. Aren't you thankful? Is there not joy in your heart for God not leaving us to those vessels of wrath that were fitted to destruction, but yet he took our destruction upon himself? Do we realize the depth of what that means? I don't think so. My puny little imagination can't even picture the depth of what that means for God to become sin, to become my sin, and then put it away. A sin that I could spend eternity trying to pay and would never even cover one drop. Yet my Lord did it, and then he raised himself from the dead to prove that he was God and to prove that what he did was effectual for us. There is peace for you and I, but it's only in our Savior. May God give us the ability to continue to see that. Stand with me if you would.